Hello, friend. My name is Reverend Felicia Blanco Searcy, and I am the senior minister at Unity Church of Life in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Unity is a positive, practical, progressive approach to Christianity based on the teachings of Jesus and the power of prayer. Unity honors the universal truths in all religions and respects each individual right to choose a spiritual path. We welcome you to our virtual Sunday celebration and hope you will find it inspiring and enriching.
The time to move into prayer and meditation, and I'm reading from August 20th, 2009, the Daily Word, and the word is faith. I walk in faith. When my attention is on areas of conflict in the world, I may perceive planet Earth as being in chaos. However, when I keep my focus on God, I am reminded of the wonder in life and the ultimate outworking of good. External appearances may create fear and worry, but I give them no power. I hold to the truth that God is always present, even in challenging circumstances, and that divine order always prevails. All of life fulfills a divine plan of growth and beauty. From chaos and change comes a new order of things. I am committed to divine order in my life also. God has created me, and God sustains me. I have faith in the goodness of God to guide my way and to heal our planet. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I invite you to gently close your eyes. To become aware of the breath. Feel the breath. Moving in, moving out. Focus on the breath. Allow it to draw you inward to your heart. Notice how you're being drawn to your heart. It's like a homing pigeon going home. And as you focus your attention on your heart, you feel yourself relaxing, dropping your defenses, settling in even more. Notice how you feel reassured. That sigh of relief. Focus on your heart even more. And notice how love emits from your heart. And the more you place your attention on your heart, the more love becomes real. How you can relax even more, trusting truly that all is well. And now I invite you to think of a situation that's been challenging for you this past week, a prayer that you've had. And bring the thought this wonderful awareness of pure love. feel love in folding your prayer request and making it love's own. Creating spiritual compost, taking in the fear, the pain, transforming it in this union of love to whatever it is you need right now. Reassurance, guidance, strength. Notice how your prayer request becomes the very thing that you've longed to experience. And how this is the prayer coming from you now. So I'm going to invite us for a few moments in the silence with the new prayer that the presence of love has changed your prayer request into. Your request is now God's request. Into the silence. My prayer is God's prayer. When I surrender to the presence of love, I allow God to transform my deepest longings into the reality that is God. My prayer is God's prayer. And so we come back to this time and place. Changed. We've had a new relationship, a new experience with Spirit. We're ready to let this new experience guide our thoughts, guide our actions, guide our words. We're ready to be this new experience. We are grateful. My prayer is God's prayer. Thank you, God. And in the name and of the nature of the living Christ, we say thank you, sweet Spirit. So it is. Amen. Good morning. You all have a good week. It was, you can see spring coming. When you walk around my neighborhood, the daffodils are starting to come up. And for the first time yesterday, I noticed the buds coming out on the red bud trees. Evidences of spring all around. How many of you started wondering if spring was going to happen? Let me ask that question on a more serious note. How many of you found yourself needing to pray to make sure that spring was going to happen, that at some level you doubted that spring was going to come? None of us. My bet is that it's so intrinsic and it's so predictable for all of us that the timing may be a little different. None of us would even think to question whether or not spring is going to happen. Today we're talking about faith, and we're talking about how faith forms our prayers, and we're doing it in the context of the line that Jesus said in John, "Those of you who believe in me will do what I do or greater things." And we're looking at Jesus' style of faith and the way he prayed. Remember, we all signed up to be students of Jesus. We all signed up to be his apprentices. And if we want to repeat what he did, a major piece of that is then praying how Jesus prayed. In order to be able to do that, we have to look at where we place our faith. Jesus' faith in his Father as the giver and sustainer of life formed his prayers, which then allowed him to do what he did. So the thing I want us to do today is to investigate our style of prayer, and ask the question, does it support our endeavor to follow in Jesus' footsteps? So let's take a look at the style of prayer that many of us were taught, and understanding that it's all an evolution. And some of you received the email this week around Cindy Wigglesworth's work, where we've been sent a DVD. And the DVD is going to introduce us, some of us, and reintroduce us, a lot of us, again, to the whole theory of spiral dynamics. And the theory of spiral dynamics is that our emotional, spiritual, and social selves grow and evolve. There is a level of evolution where things are black and white, and we see authority outside of us directing us with what we think this authority wants us to do. And when we please this authority, we are rewarded. When we displease this authority, we are punished. And they line them up with colors, and they did it with colors not to place any importance or judgment on each level, but to help us understand that every level is equally as important, and we can't skip levels. This is the level of, for most of us, of our traditional upbringing of God, that God has been presented over the last several millennium as a entity outside that we go to and we ask for things from this God, hoping our words will please this God in such a way that our wishes will be granted. Oftentimes, answered prayer is called a miracle, that we pray for a miracle, that God will find favor on us and make this happen because either we did the right thing or we were good. You guys with me? What's the magic tap dance to make God and to bring about our prayer request? Jesus scrapped that image. And he told us that if we were going to do what he did, then we had to scrap that image of God as well. He said, pray believing. He said, when he healed the blind man in Matthew, he said, it was your faith that made you whole. He kept taking the attention away from himself and bringing it back to us and kept asking us, what is it that you believe? The guy by the pool, do you want to walk? Don't look to me to make this happen. Ask yourself, do you want to make this happen? He said, yeah, then get up and walk. You've got the power within yourself. And so as we continue this journey into repeating what Jesus did and being true followers of Jesus, we have to really scrutinize, what do we really believe? Now, most of us have been around Unity for a while or been around New Thought, and we've got this intellectually. Now it's time to bring it down to another heart level. It's time to truly ask ourselves, do we believe the fundamental teaching of Jesus that we too have the power to heal, we have the power to manifest, we have the power to love, and we have the power to forgive that Jesus did? Or do we continue to cut God short, and do we continue to be at the mercy of the world around us and the victim to circumstances, continue to pray to the outside God to intervene, hoping that this power will make things okay? My theory is, and I don't think it's going to be that long, but let's put it out a little ways. 500 years from now, archaeologists are going to do digs, and they're going to find our spiritual documents, and that they will be so far advanced spiritually in their understanding of how energy work and our oneness with this constant, infinite presence of life and creation, that they are going to put the current story of Jesus in the same category as Roman and Greek myths. That they're going to say these are lovely stories and these are archetypes and these are how primitive people try to explain their world around them. Our current understanding. Because when they dig in, it will be as natural as breathing. It's like when I watch my grandkids on a computer, it's just so natural for them. So we're still in this stage of transition, where we have a sense of this new possibility. Many of us have spent a lot of years studying and growing and immersing and cultivating this different image of God, therefore a different faith. We're paving the way. We're the big, huge computer systems that you used to see back in the 50s, where at some point it's going to be just a tiny little microchip, a God microchip. Microchip, where the understanding of how energy work and how faith works will be so automatic that people will be able to manifest it as if, as easy as they use your cell phone today, the way that Jesus manifests the fishes and loaves and walked on water, or whatever happened. And I'm not going to get into a big conversation around, you know, whether the miracles happened the way that they were written in the Bible or not. Let's just say that something dramatic happened and that we are paving the way for that dramatic to become the new norm. So in order to do that, let's take a look at what do we believe. And if you really want to know what you believe, if you want to know where your faith is, listen to the words that you use. Pay attention to your reaction when things happen. The biggest gauge of where your faith is, notice the nature of your prayer. Now, this is not to say that there are not times when we literally fall on our knees and cry, God, help me. I think that is a visceral, cellular, human longing to reach out to something bigger and reassuring than our limited human selves. I'm talking about the consistent prayer that you default to. If you find yourself asking God outside of you to intervene, that's wonderful feedback about the image that you have of God in that moment and fundamentally as something that will intervene for you. In order to shift that, we need to start, number one, spending time in prayer and meditation in order to develop a new relationship, a new experience of God as the presence that emerges from us, and start looking for that evidence. I have heard so many people say, I pray for more faith. I want to have more faith. When God created in the beginning, God created everything perfectly and fully self-sustaining in that moment. We don't need any more faith. You have all the faith you need. It's not praying for more faith. It's asking, where am I directing my faith? What am I noticing? What am I growing? What am I perpetuating? Faith is a matter of shifting. Jesus gives us a perfect example in the Gospels with the fish and the loaves. I love this story. You know, he's been out preaching all day. Thousands upon thousands of people. We have no idea how many people because the women and children weren't counted at the time. Getting dark. They're staying around. I mean, these are serious Jesus groupies. They weren't leaving. And so the disciples, and you can hear the murmuring. You know, those murmurs of doubt in us. You can hear them kind of like, okay, they're getting restless, and they're getting really hungry. I think we need to get Jesus out of here because we're going to have a mob on our hands. Okay, Peter, you pull the chariot up, and I'm going to whisk him out. And Jesus knows that all of this is going on, and so they go to him and say, you know, that they're getting restless, they're getting unruly, you know, we need to leave. We can't feed all these people. And in one of the Gospels, and I don't remember which one, Jesus turns it back on them and says, well, do something. And they start hyperventilating. What do you mean do something? We can't do anything. Look at this. This is undoable. You've got to get out of here. This is crazy. And, you know, in ancient terms, Jesus basically says, take a breath and bring me what we've got. And so they find a boy who's got two fish and five loaves of bread. And the disciples are continuing this constant murmuring about there's no way we're going to be able to do this with what we've got on hand. We're going to have this mob. And Jesus told everybody to sit down, which effectively means just become present. And he took that, and he wasn't deluded in thinking that, well, maybe if he gave everybody a little morsel, that they would think that they're getting something. He took it, and he saw it as evidence of God's infinite substance. He saw it differently. He didn't affirm that there was enough. He didn't hope that there was enough. He didn't do little dances around. He didn't go and bend before it and say, oh, please multiply, please multiply, please multiply. He looked at it as the evidence of what he knew to be true, that God's abundance is infinite. We can never run out of the substance of God. And his prayer was a prayer of thanksgiving. He simply gave thanks. And in that prayer of thanksgiving, what he knew to be true manifested itself in the real world, in physical reality. Now, we don't know how that happened. Eric Butterworth, in his book, Spiritual Economics, talks about how there's a couple theories that there was a merchant in town who knew that this was going on and ordered food and brought it out. You know, stone soup kind of thing. People start pulling out the food that they've had present. We have no idea what happened. Something happened where people's needs were met. And it started because Jesus's fundamental faith in God as the infinite source of supply allowed it to happen. How many of you went before your faucet this morning and knelt down and asked for water? Anybody? Who went to your faucet and said, I promise I'll speak to my husband or wife or child or whoever lovingly today if you just give me water? How many people went without even thinking about it, turned the faucet on, knowing that water was going to come out of it? That's the kind of faith that Jesus had in God. And that's the kind of faith that he asks us to cultivate as well. When we do that, the nature of our prayers change. They go from, oh God, please make this happen, to, I will allow the presence of God to flow through and as me into whatever the situation is, bringing the quality that's being called for. We shift from praying to God to praying from God. In that moment, we know God. And we know God as Jesus knew God. And when we have that level of alignment, that consciousness of oneness, that's when the miracles can happen. And breathe into that word miracle, because when we talked about miracles this morning in class, we think of some people being included and some people being out. The miracle is the shift in our awareness, where we then allow the natural order of things to flow through us. When we allow a higher understanding of whatever it is that we're facing to be made manifest through us and around us. We will never create the kind of world that Jesus envisions if we continue to pray the ways that we have in the past. Can you guys see that? When we do that, we've made God really small. And we've taken ourselves out of the equation. We're waiting for God to come do it to whatever we need. And God's waiting for us to come do to whatever is need. God needs us to claim that which we are asking for in order to bring it to the situation. And that's what Jesus did. Over and over and over again. Jesus brought the reality of wholeness. Jesus brought the reality of harmony. Jesus brought the reality of life into every situation he encountered. He tapped into what he knew was real about himself, and he allowed it to express as him. When he said, "The Father and I are one," he was not talking about being unique and special in God's only Son, which when you think about it, makes the rest of us either God's grandkids or stepkids. When he said, "The Father and I are one, the sustainer and creator of all life, and who and what I am are one, and as God does, I do." And so we make that shift. And sometimes we have to do it intentionally. In fact, most of the time, I know for me, I have not evolved to that level yet. It has to be an intentional shift. I have to pay attention to the nature of my prayers. I have to pay attention to the words I'm using. And I often have to ask for help to shift it to praying from what I know is true and present rather than hoping it will come to me. I have to shift and see how I am the way that God will express and be made known in the situation. And that's what we mean when we say we walk in faith. That my prayer is God's prayer. God's prayer is my prayer. You guys with me? Okay. So I want you to think of a situation that you're facing this week that's caused you some challenges, where you found yourself asking God to come in and intervene. Does everybody have something? Some of us more than others. And I want you to become quiet and drop into your heart center. Take that prayer request with you. And notice how when we tap into the infinite presence of Spirit, the prayer shifts. And it's no longer, "Please do this for me." It now becomes, "How can I do this for you?" Hear God's voice. "How can I pray through you?" Open your heart. Give God access. Let your prayer become God's prayer. Walk in that faith of Jesus that whatever the request is, it is fulfilled because it is who and what you are. Okay, so this week, what I want us to do is to spend time, number one, in prayer. We cannot pray the way Jesus prayed without actually spending physical time in prayer. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. And to pay attention to the nature of our prayers, be willing to make that shift in our heart. Bring it down to our heart and ask, let it become God's prayer. Let our heart shift it. Become the way that God wants to express through and as us. And just pay attention. Just notice if there's a difference. I walk in faith. Together, I walk in faith. And so it is. Thank you, God. Amen.
And we'd like to close with our prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds you, the love of God enfolds you, the power of God protects you, and the presence of God watches over you. And remember, wherever you are, God is, and all is well. Thank you for joining us. For more information, we invite you to visit our website at www.unitychurchoflife.com. If you would like more information about Unity in general, you can visit the Unity Worldwide website at www.unity.org.